From South Carolina Public Radio, this is On the Keys. I'm David Kaiser. On this week's program, part two of a two-part South Carolina Bach special, wherein we learn about Bach's life through his organ music, which he composed during the entire span of his 65 years. Our organists are all South Carolina-based, and most of the organs featured could be in your neighborhood church, if you live in the upstate, that is. Last week's keyboard question, I asked you who was the organist who popularized much of Bach through weekly national broadcasts of recitals at Harvard University. The answer is E. Power Biggs. Though he passed away in the 70s, he has played at a number of churches and auditoriums in South Carolina, and some of you may remember hearing him. Last week we left off, in Weimar, the region of the Dueling Dukes. And just when Bach was passed over for the prime position as Kapellmeister, instead of Concertmeister, a young prince of Curtin, the 20-something-year-old Leopold, offered him the position, and Curtin, the very same Kapellmeister, what Bach wanted. Curtin was a Saxony state. However, Wilhelm Ernst, one of the dukes of Weimar, Bach's current place, wouldn't let his genius composer go so easily and had him imprisoned for a month. After all, Bach had written a number of Italian-influenced chamber music that was all the rage in the princedom, and still had time to write a cantata a month for the dukes. He was hard to let go. Let's mention a quick recap of the cities in Middle Germany that Bach has lived. At the risk of boring you, first Eisenach, 1685-1695, then to Ohrdruf until 1700, then Lüneburg until 1702, then Weimar briefly, then Arnstadt, 1703-1707, Mulhausen, to 1708, Weimar, to 1717, and now on to Curtin, 1717 to 1723, and then we have Leipzig. But first, the energy of the young Prince Leopold of Curtin was infectious to Bach. And here in this city, relieved of writing regular church music, Bach wrote for the chamber orchestra, who wrote the Brandenburgs, by the way. He also acquired a state-of-the-art harpsichord and wrote plenty of keyboard music, though not too much organ music. And though probably written earlier, BWV 532 shows the frenetic energy that Bach probably expended at his time here. Yours truly plays the modest Wix pipe organ of Our Lady of the Rosary Catholic Church in Greenville. You have just heard the Prelude and Fugue in D Major, BWV 532, played by yours truly on the Wicks pipe organ of Our Lady of the Rosary Catholic Church in Greenville. Bach's time in Curtin wasn't all fun. After going on a rather exotic business trip with his young employer to Carlsbad, he returns to find that his young wife Maria Barbara Bach had died in his absence. However, a year later he marries Anna Magdalena, a soprano a good number of years his junior, but not a second cousin. Together they go on, or rather she, bears 13 children, only 6 surviving to adulthood. And let me mention that most of the Bach girls died in obscurity or even poverty. Girls at this time did not attend the boys' choir schools or universities, and one has to imagine the potential musical genius that the Bach Schiens often promise and how they were not realized in his daughters. In 1720, Bach visited Hamburg, a city known for its great organists and big pipe organs like the Schindler instrument of the Jakobkirche, where Bach applied but did not take a position. It is said that he improvised the Fantasy and Fugue in G minor, the Great, there. We listen now to the finished version, played in a live performance by Charles Tompkins, a selection.
Thank you.
You've just heard Charles Tompkins play a selection of the great Fantasy and Fugue in G minor in a live performance. So let us move on to his last period, in Langus, place of residence, Leipzig, where he was cantor of the St. Thomas School, a demotion, so to speak, from his Kapellmeister role in Curtin. The St. Thomas School was primarily responsible to train choirs for the four local churches. It was here that Bach composed a number of cycles of cantatas for the church season and the Passions, and eventually led the Collegium Musicum and produced his most heady of keyboard and chamber works, like the Art of Fugue, the Klavierübung, the third of which was his first organ publication, by the way, and a sample of which we heard at the beginning of the first program. And when he became the honorary musician for King Frederick the Great in Potsdam, he wrote the Musical Offering in tribute or as a way to gain favor. The Musical Offering, of course, is a puzzle of counterpoint. I must mention here that Bach's time at the St. Thomas School was ambivalent. The school was coming down from a musical high of previous generations and was having a hard time supporting and attracting talented musicians. And I mentioned that Bach was third choice when Telemann, I believe, refused to take the position. And attracting talent was a struggle for Bach his entire tenure there. Though I must mention he had to have been aware of what was to come for him in Leipzig. The promise of the prestigious Leipzig University might have helped convince him of the move from Curtin. And indeed, some of his sons took advantage of the university. So the move was ideal in some ways. The exact date of a lot of Bach's organ compositions from around this time are not exactly known, as he was constantly revising them, like the Great 18 Chorale Preludes, and the next set that he published, the chorales, the so-called Schubler, whose most famous is Walküre auf. During his Leipzig period sometime, as I mentioned, he composed a somber masterpiece, the Prelude and Fugue in B minor, BWV 544. Here is a virtuoso organ piece, but not over-the-top virtuosity like the 532 Prelude and Fugue. This is somehow darker and more menacing and not as approachable. Spartanburg-based organist Brennan Schaffran plays it for us, and some of you might know Brennan from a past broadcast featuring Canadian organ music. Need I mention this Prelude and Fugue is particularly tricky to learn and to play legato. This is a live performance. You've just heard Spartanburg bass organist Brendan Chaffron play the Prelude and Fugue in B minor, BWV 544, in a live performance. The Leipzig 18 of Bach, the great 18 choral preludes, are praised for their ingenuity, craftsmanship, and treatment of the old hymn tunes on which they are based, tunes that Bach deeply loved. It is interesting that Bach revisits the choral prelude form later in his life. And let's listen to two of the most famous, perhaps, Schmücke dich, O liebe Seele, BWV 654, Deck Thyself, My Soul, with Gladness. The tune is surrounded by dance-like ritornellos. It's a four-voiced affair with plenty of ornaments, nearly French in character. Charles Tompkin plays it for us on the Casavant organ of First Baptist Church in Greenville. You've just heard the choral prelude, Deck Thyself, My Soul with Gladness, from the Leipzig 18, BWV 654, played for us by Charles Tompkins at First Baptist Church, which hosts one of the largest, or the largest, pipe organ in South Carolina, a Cassavant. The sheer variety of these choral preludes of the Leipzig 18 is incredible. The next we'll hear is the trio texture choral prelude, Herr Jesu Christ, dich zu uns wendt, a virtuosic concerto-like texture, and we only get to hear the theme, by the way, in the pedals near the end. Yours truly plays it at the organ of the Episcopal Church of the Advent in Spartanburg, a mechanical action flintrop instrument, a perfect organ to play this piece on. From that joyous music played by yours truly in Spartanburg, we must mention here that Bach was beginning to wind down. He was suffering from near blindness at the end of his life, and he eventually passes away in 1750 in Leipzig, supposedly in the middle of writing The Art of the Fugue. It is thought that he suffered a stroke. And though 65 was relatively old for those days, I must mention that his contemporaries Handel, Scarlatti, Telemann, Matthiessen, Rameau all outlived him by a number of years. It's interesting to point out that so many of his direct colleagues, who were only a few years older or younger than him, have lived on in posterity, and their music has survived. Though Europe had just survived the devastating effects of the 30-year war, the next generation somehow sported incredible talent. I hope you've enjoyed this two-part program of Bach's life, and I covered as much as I possibly could in our limited time here. That's our show you've been listening to On the Keys here in South Carolina Public Radio. The show's email address is keys@scpublicradio.org. You've been listening to a two-part Bach series featuring upstate organists and pipe organs. You can find playlists for this program at our website, scpublicradio.org. This program is supported by your kind contributions to the station. Have a musical week.